Yeah, just a light clap. Believe me, that's enough. For those of you that are on this train, sorry that you just lost 2 minutes of your life. But we're glad that you're with us today. Welcome to the Jar. Happy Easter to every single person. We're so glad that you chose to hang out with us today. My name is Chris. And if you would, I'd like you to turn to the person beside you and just tell them, you look Easter good. Go ahead, tell them real quick. You can type it on the stream. You look Easter good. You know, when I went to college, it was a time where I really started to question my faith. And I think it's a time that many people do in their early 20s, that they begin to question some of their faith beliefs. Now, I was raised a PK, a preacher's kid, and being raised a PK, I started wondering in my early 20s, did my parents just brainwash me and put all this Jesus stuff in my head, or was it really true? I mean, the truth was, at that point in my life, I had a lot of doubts about Christianity and what it meant. And so I started on a pilgrimage, a spiritual pilgrimage, to try to figure out what was true. And as I did that, I traveled to West Africa, where I learned about the Muslim faith. And I'll never forget being in Dakar, Senegal on a Friday, and the entire city of 4 million people closed, and everyone went to their local mosque. And as I went by this mosque, there were thousands of people that were on their knees, and they were praying with Allah, and praying to Allah. And so I went ahead and I got a Quran and I got some prayer beads, and I started investigating that because I had so many doubts about the Christian faith. A couple years later, I went to India, where I learned about the whole process of the Hindu faith and the Buddhist faith. And it was in those moments that I found my inner chi, or at least was trying to, because I questioned so much about the Christian faith. It was in that time, too, that I actually began to start deciding what my major was. So I became a history major, where I wanted to focus on world religions to find out what other things were saying, because I had so many doubts about Christianity. I doubted the virgin birth, I doubted the resurrection, I doubted heaven and hell, I doubted the Bible, I doubted the church, I doubted how a God could cause so much suffering or allow so much suffering to happen in our world. I was just full of doubt. Have you ever had doubts like this before? Have you ever kind of had doubts or wonderings about God, and is God real and is He there? Have you ever had doubts about Christianity and wanting to know, does Christianity really follow through on everything that it says that it's about? Well, today is Easter, kind of the pinnacle of the Christian faith, the day which separates from every other world religion, that its leader actually rose from the dead, and Christianity became that movement that was throughout the world. And on Easter, we celebrate that Jesus died on a cross, but 3 days later, He rose again. He walked out of the cave. And Scripture tells us that He appeared 13 different times to His disciples. In fact, we're told that there were about 500 eyewitnesses to Him, to His resurrected body. Now, what I want to talk about today is that after the resurrection, as He walks out of the cave, He then is with these disciples these 13 times to 500 people, and then He ascends. He goes back to heaven. Now, maybe you don't understand the ascension story, or you've never heard about it before, but basically, Jesus is on earth. He's standing there, and then all of a sudden, He ascends, like straight up into heaven. He's like Iron Man, I'm telling you. It's like He's there one day on planet Earth, and then all of a sudden, He just like ascends straight back up into the clouds. And what he does before that happens, he says to his disciples, I want you now to tell everyone my story, that I came as one who had no sin at all. And then I took on all of the sin of the world, and I died up, and I died on a cross willingly so that all of your sins could be taken away. But I didn't just die as a martyr, but 3 days later I rose again so that you could have life with me forever in eternal life. And then after he said this, he goes, I want you now to go and tell the rest of the world about my story. Go and tell everyone. And then he went, and he ascended right back up to heaven. That's how it happened. Now, this story is told in Matthew chapter 28. Matthew was one of Jesus' closest friends, and he was an eyewitness to the ascension. And he shares something that's very interesting that many people miss. And in verse 16, it says this, then the 11 disciples left for Galilee, going to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, what did they do? They worshiped him, but some of them what? What did they do? They doubted. All of you on the stream, they doubted. Type that in. They doubted. When they saw the risen Christ, they worshiped him, but some of them still doubted. Today we're beginning a brand new series called Doubting God, and we're going to talk about it over the next 7 weeks, and I hope many of you will commit to being here next week and each day through this, or each Sunday through this, because I think it's a powerful kind of series that God's going to use to help us to deal with our doubts. And that's what I want to talk about today, dealing with doubt. Now, I don't know why it is, but it's just kind of human nature that when someone else struggles, sometimes it's encouraging for us. Sometimes when other people struggle with something, we're actually encouraged. Sometimes it's in my own life. Someone's struggling and I feel a little bit better. I know it's sick, folks. I get it. But it's true. And for me, I actually feel better that the disciples who were with Jesus, who learned from Jesus, who heard him teach, who saw him heal people, who saw him go and die upon a cross, who saw the resurrected Jesus, who saw him ascend back into heaven, even some of them doubted. And it makes me feel so much better to know that the disciples also had a sucky faith sometimes. Because that's the way I am. Sometimes I can be so close to God and feel so connected, and then other times I can have huge doubts and questions. Can anyone else relate to this, or is this just a me thing? Anyone? Yeah. I mean, there are times that God can feel so real that it's almost like I could almost touch him. And I believe he's good. And I believe he's with me. And I believe he's for me. And if you were to tell me that God's not real, this is what I'd say. Say, yo, mama's not real. Because that's how personal it is to me. And then other times, I can be in God's presence, whether it's in my quiet time, or I can be here in church worshiping, and then all of a sudden it just hits me like, is this stuff real? Is God real? Is Jesus real? In fact, you know, when you have doubts, some of the loneliest places you can actually be is around other Christians. I mean, you want to ask questions, you want to say, hey, I doubt this, but you're afraid to because you know that there are other people around you that maybe they just won't get it. What if they don't think that I really have any faith at all? What are they going to say about me? And if I believe that, would they even want anything to do with me? And folks, this is the reason why I believe that many people are leaving the Christian faith much more than in other world religions, because it isn't that God isn't good, it isn't that God isn't loving, but because they don't feel like they have a safe place that they can ask some questions. Maybe you prayed something and you know that God could have answered it, but he didn't. And now all of a sudden you're like, does God love me? Is he there? Does he care? Is there something wrong with me? Or why is it that bad things happen to good people? Or why is it that sometimes really good things happen to really nasty, crotchety people? They're just mean. Like, where is the justice in that? Or what about the suffering in the world? How could a loving God allow human suffering the way that we see it with people who are hurting or people that are raped or abused or maybe even to the point that they're killed and they're innocent? And we look at wars like in the Ukraine, or we look at wars in Israel and Gaza, and we're like, where are you, God? Like, where are you at? You see, when you want to ask questions, sometimes you're scared to ask it around your Christian friends because you know they're going to judge you. And if I can just talk to all of the Christians right now on the stream and everyone in the balcony and everyone down here, just Christians. If you're not a Christian, if you're here for the first time, count how many lights there are real quick, you know, just for 30 seconds. You can ignore me. But if you're a Christian, sometimes we make it worse as Christians. There are some Christians that just do not give much grace. They don't have much bend when it comes to people's questions. They kind of have this bumper sticker theology that says, God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. Hallelujah. And I don't know about you, but they have this like black and white kind of understanding, but life is different than that, isn't it? It's very complicated. It's very chaotic at times. Sometimes there aren't easy answers to the questions that we have. And when there's no bend at all and there's only judgment, they feel like their only option is to walk away from God. Well, starting today and throughout this series, what I want to do is I want to show you that doubts handled properly actually can strengthen your faith. That doubts handled properly actually, rather than taking you away from God, can actually draw you closer to God. That your doubts don't have to be a limiting factor. They can actually grow your faith. You see, folks, the truth is this, that sometimes we need to realize that our faith is a journey, not a destination. We don't arrive. None of us ever just arrive and like, hey, I made it. Look, I'm here with God. I know everything. No, it's a journey that we're on together. And we're going to be on this journey together, like I said, throughout this series. Now this morning, for the rest of our time, I want us to simply discover this big idea, and here it is. This is your first fill-in for those of you that are on the stream, on the app, or in your program, and it's this. That the strongest faith isn't a faith that says, that never doubts, but the strongest faith is a faith that grows through your doubts. Let me say that again. The strongest faith isn't a faith that never doubts. The strongest faith is a faith that grows through your doubts. So, as we're talking about doubts today, I want to introduce to you, from the Bible, one of Jesus' closest friends, one of his 12 disciples, a guy by the name of Thomas. Thomas was present with Jesus throughout his 3 years of public ministry, and he was very tight with Jesus. And then, after the resurrection, in John chapter 20, this is what we read. One of the 12 disciples, Thomas, nicknamed the twin, was not with the others when Jesus came. They told him, "We have seen the Lord." Now, this phrase is actually kind of funny when you look at it in the Greek text, which is the original language of the New Testament, because the verb that is there actually has an active tense. In other words, what the disciples, when they talk to Thomas, what they say repeatedly is, we've seen the Lord, we've seen the Lord, we've seen the Lord. It's kind of like if you're on a trip with your kids and they're in the back and you pull out and you start traveling for a little bit, they ask the question, what? Are we there yet? You're not even out of Muncie yet. And you're like, hey, are we in Florida yet? No. Dumb kids, like, what's up? And in this moment, this is what the disciples, it's this active kind of action tense. It's like, we've seen the Lord, we've seen the Lord. We know he was dead, but now he's alive. Thomas, we have seen the Lord. And the scripture goes on. But Thomas replied, I won't believe it unless I see the nail wounds in his hands, put my fingers into them and place my hand into the wound in his side. And because of this story, Thomas gets a nickname. And I wonder, do you remember what his nickname was? It was what? Yeah, Doubting Thomas. Those of you on the stream, you could type it in right now. Doubting Thomas. That's what he was referred to. Now, the truth is, Thomas, in my opinion, got a bad rep. He did. And today, what I want to do is I want to dignify his doubt. Because this is the only reason the other homeboys who were connected with Jesus believed. Why? Why did they believe? Because they saw him, exactly. They saw him, and that's why Thomas then gets a bad rep. You know, maybe a lot of you are like me, and you can actually relate to Thomas. I mean, Thomas wasn't a bad guy. He was just a fact finder. He was a realist. He didn't know what he didn't know. He had gone through some struggles, some heartbreaks, some losses in his life. And so he had questions. He had doubts. He had some things that he wanted to ask. And this is what I want to say. Just because you have questions, it doesn't make you a bad person. Questions, you know what questions actually do? They make you human. To question is to be human. In fact, Oswald Chambers, one of the great Christian authors and writers, said this, doubt is not always a sign that a man is wrong. It may be a sign that he's thinking. Okay, some of you, you probably need to take a picture of that because you, it's too deep for you this early in the morning, okay? But folks, this is what I want to say. Your doubts do not disqualify your faith. In fact, if you were to ask me to rank the disciples on spiritual strength and faith, Thomas would be at the top. And you might ask, well, why? Well, there's a story in the Bible in which Jesus, one day, is with his disciples when he gets word that one of his best friends, a guy by the name of Lazarus, is sick. And the way that Thomas responds to this shows incredible faith. And what we find out is that Jesus doesn't immediately go, and then he finds out that Lazarus is dead. He's been dead for 4 days. Nothing but dead. In fact, the King James Version actually puts it this way. It says, by this time, he stinketh. Now, I don't know about you, but that's funny to me. I mean, you can laugh in church, people. By this time, what? He stinketh. Yeah. Try to type that in right now, those of you on the stream. He stinketh. Yeah, he stinketh. I mean, it wasn't just like he was stinky. It was like he stanky. He is stanky. And why is he stanky? Because they didn't have embalming processes back then. The body started to stank. And it was stanky. He stinketh. And he wasn't just stanky for a little bit. It's 4 days of stank. And what did Thomas do? Thomas goes to Jesus. Jesus looks at Thomas, the scripture says, and the other disciples, and he told them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And I'm sure the disciples are like, great, Captain Obvious, like we know that. He stinks. We know he's dead. He's been dead. It's obvious that he's dead. You don't have to be a Messiah, Jesus, to know that Lazarus is dead. He's dead. We knew that. And then Jesus says, let us go to him. Then Thomas, also known as Didymus, said this to the rest of the disciples. Hey, let's go that we may die with Jesus. Now, folks, that isn't fear. That's faith. That's courage. That's who Thomas was. He realized that if they went with Jesus and Jesus did a miracle, which he did, and he raised Lazarus from the dead, that the religious leaders might arrest him. They might even kill him. And Thomas is like, I don't care. Let's go with Jesus. Let's stay with him, even if we die. And folks, that's not a lack of faith. That is incredible, gifted faith that is Thomas, that's who he is. And then Thomas goes on and he does these incredible things to share the good news of Jesus to others. Now, back to the resurrection story. If you remember, the rest of the disciples, they actually saw Jesus face to face. They saw the resurrected body. But Thomas didn't. And he doubted whether or not they had seen the Lord. So watch how Jesus responds to Thomas and his doubt. The scripture says this, 8 days later, the disciples were together again, and this time Thomas was with them. Now folks, don't miss this. How many days later was it?
8 days.
8 days later. And Thomas, even in his doubts, even in his questions, you know what Thomas did? He showed back up. He showed back up, even in his doubts, even in not understanding, he showed back up. And this is what I want to say to some of you. Some of you are going through some hurts. You're going through some struggles. You've got some doubts, but this is what I want you to know. Today, you showed up, and I want to applaud you for showing up, because showing up is half of the battle sometimes when it comes to our faith. You showed back up. You who are on this stream, you showed up to watch today. Sometimes we just have to show up. The story continues. The doors were locked, but suddenly, as before, Jesus was standing there. Peace be with you, he said. Then he looks at Thomas and he says, put your fingers here. Look at my hands. Put your hand into the wound in my side. Don't be faithless any longer. Believe. And then Thomas shouts out, my Lord and my God. What did Jesus do? What did he do in responding to a doubter? Jesus came to Thomas and gave Thomas exactly what Thomas needed. Jesus wasn't ticked. He wasn't angry. He wasn't distant. Jesus stood right beside Thomas in the midst of his doubt, because God is not distant in your doubts. God is never distant in your doubts. Folks, this is what I need you to know, that if Jesus feels far away, then reach out to him. Because he is reaching out to you. He doesn't walk away in our doubts. He doesn't destroy us in our doubts. He doesn't ignore us in our doubts. He actually draws closer to us if we choose to stay connected to him. I mean, Thomas had his questions. Thomas had his doubts, and Jesus stood by him. And what happened to Thomas after Jesus ascended back into heaven? He actually had incredible impact within the world. Tradition tells us that Thomas went off to the country of India, and it's there that he shared his faith with thousands of people, and in 72 AD, he was murdered for sharing his faith. And it proves to us, and I hope it proves to all of you, and you feel this, that when you have questions, that when you have doubts, your doubts don't disqualify your faith. Your doubts never disqualify your faith. Your faith is a journey, not a destination. You see, all of us, at some point in our life, we're going to have doubts because of a hurt or a loss or a struggle. And you're going to have a moment of insecurity. You're going to have an answer that you don't have, or you're going to have a question that you don't have an answer to. And your spiritual enemy, the devil, in that moment is going to try to get you to doubt so much, that to get you to have your doubt to drive you away from God. He's going to tell you, you're having questions like that? You're not a real believer. You don't have perfect faith. This stuff isn't real. The church doesn't care about you. Your small group doesn't care about you. God's not in your life. He doesn't care. He's not good. He's not with you. He's not for you. You've messed up too much. You're too bad. You just came on Easter. Oh my gosh. Well, there's nothing he'll have to do with you. You're too filthy. He'll never forgive you. He's just playing games with you. And the devil is going to use your doubt to try and drive you away from God. But this is what I want to tell somebody who's either on the stream or maybe you're here today. This is what I need to tell you. That even in the midst of your doubts, it doesn't drive you away from God, but God reaches out to you and He reminds you that He is with you, that He is for you, and He never walks away. And just as He stood next to Thomas in his doubts, Jesus will do the same for you. Now this is hard for me to tell you. Because I'm your pastor. But earlier this year, I had a bout with doubt myself. It was the first Sunday that I'd come back to teach after my mom had died. And I was standing in this front row and we were singing worship songs just like we did today. When all of a sudden, I just didn't want to sing anymore. I didn't have anything to say to God. I didn't know what to say, and all of a sudden my head got flooded with so many doubts. Is this thing even real? Is God real? Is Jesus real? Am I a farce? Am I teaching people something that just doesn't really matter? Is it all emotion driven? Is it all about, you know, this whole idea that religion's just a crutch for me? And, you know, will I ever even get to heaven? Will I ever see my mom again? When people die, do they just die and that's it? And I'm standing in this front row right here. All of this stuff is flooding and I've got to come up and teach about having a fresh start in life. And God loves you. And I didn't have anything to give. And I remember standing there thinking, maybe I could just walk out. And my chest started pounding and tears started coming. And I finally, just in a chair like you're sitting in right now, I just sat down. I put my hands into my face. I didn't want anyone to see me. And I was like, where are you, God? Like, where are you? If you could just share something with me, God, but I feel so low. I've got so many doubts right now. And it wasn't an audible voice, but just in my spirit, I sense God say, Chris, I am with you. I am for you. And I've never walked away from you. And I know you're struggling. I know you're hurting. But you keep the faith. You keep the faith. You hold on to your faith. You hold on to me. And I will give you the faith that you need. And it was in that moment that it just kind of hit me. It's faith. It always takes faith. And folks, this is what I discovered in my life. That faith is not the absence of doubt. Faith is a means to push through the doubt. Faith is not an absence of doubt. We all have doubts. But faith is a means to push through the doubt. Psalm 23 says this, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you, God, are with me." And when you're in the midst of a valley, what do? Well, you have two choices. Either one, you stay in the valley and you stay there forever, or you choose to actually get through it. You choose to take a step. Not a leap of faith, but a step of faith to walk out of it. And this is what some of you need to know today. The valley that you're in is not the valley of the shadow of death, but some of you are in the valley of the shadow of doubt. And if you're in the valley of the shadow of doubt, you don't stay in your doubt. You actually walk out of it. You don't allow doubt to be a dead end. If you're in the valley of the shadow of doubt, you keep on walking. You keep on showing up. You realize that faith is a journey, not a destination. No one arrives. You keep asking the questions and you keep trusting God. You know, since my mom died, the image that I have more of any other is when I was a little boy and I would walk into a room or I would walk somewhere and she would see me and immediately she would get on her knees and she would open up her arms and she'd say, "Run to me, Chris, run to me." And then she would gather me with wide open arms into her arms. And this is what I need you to know today, that there is a God who loves you so much that He has wide open arms for you, ready to welcome you in. And so this is how we're going to close. When you walked in today, each one of you received a card like this. I'd invite you to pull it out right now. And if you didn't get one, I invite you to just raise your hand and one of our greeters will get that for you. For those of you that are on the stream, it's actually on the app. And the card simply has a phrase that says, "God's arms are wide open to you," and then for you to make a decision. For some of you, Easter 2024 is going to be the decision where you're saying, "I am committing my life, doubts and all. Even though I have some doubts, I'm tired of feeling lonely and by myself. I want God in my life. I am committing to my God and to His wide open arms." And today, Easter 2024 could be your day. Now, maybe for others of you, you've already made that commitment before, but you've drifted a little bit. You've drifted away from God, or maybe you haven't drifted at all, but today you're saying, "I want to recommit my life to God." And so for you, maybe today is your day to say, "I'm recommitting." And so what I'd like you to do is just to give you a moment right now between you and God. We're going to bring the lights down for you to make a decision and then write your name on it. And then when you leave today, in the back by the two middle doors, there are boxes for you to put these cards in. Or for you up in the balcony on both sides, there's a box that when you leave today, you'll just place that in of what your decision is today on Easter 2024. And for those of you that are on the stream, just make sure you make your choice and you push submit in the app. So right now, I want to give you a moment just between you and God. You would have a moment in your seat, just like I did, to make your decision of whether or not you'll run into His wide open arms for the first time, or you're recommitting, or maybe if you're honest, you're like, "I'm not there yet," and that's okay too. And so let's take a moment to do that now. Well, I hope you've taken the time to make your decision this day, and let's pray. Loving God, thank you so much for having wide open arms for us, to receive us, to accept us, to let us know that doubts, questions, and all, that you are with us. You are right there. You don't walk away. I realize that for some of you, today is the first day maybe where you've accepted Christ as Lord. And you're ready to run into His arms. But you still maybe have a doubt. You have a question. You have something that's there. But just like I was sitting in that chair where you're sitting right now, you can have a moment with God. And that's what I'm going to pray right now. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, I pray right now that you would be present with each person in each seat that they're in. God, help them to receive you right now. Help them to know that you are with them, you are for them, that even in their doubts, you do not walk away. Jesus, let them know that you love them, you forgive them of everything, and that you have a great future for them. Remind them that you went to the cross and you died upon it so that they would not have to carry any sin or guilt or shame anymore. And 3 days later, you rose again, and we celebrate that today, knowing that we have life and life eternally with you. So right now, if you're ready to say, I want Jesus in my life, I want His love, I want His grace, I want His forgiveness, I want His second chance, I want the assurance of knowing that if I were to die today, that I have the assurance to be in heaven in eternal life with Him, then I'm going to invite you in a prayer. And it's not a prayer that you pray by yourself, but it's one that we pray together in community. If you feel comfortable, I invite you to simply repeat this prayer after me. Heavenly Father, I give my life to you. Receive me with open arms. Jesus, forgive me. Change me. Make me brand new. I believe you died and rose again so I could live with you. I put my faith in you. Fill me with your Spirit so I could know you, serve you, and follow you for the rest of my life. My life is not my own. Today I give it to you. Thank you for new life. Now you have mine. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Hey, let's give a hand to everybody who said that for the first time. Welcome to the kingdom of God. Folks, this is what you need to know. God is head over heels in love with you, even in your doubts, even in your questions. His arms are wide open. And I invite you to stand now as we sing about His wide open arms for you.
No heart, no death, no life of final breath could ever separate us from your love. No fear, no mistake, no loneliness or pain could ever separate us from your love. Could ever separate us from your love. On the other side of everything I'm afraid of, standing with your arms wide open, even in my deepest doubts and wonder, you are standing with your arms wide open, strong, I found where I belong. Forever I'm alive now in your love. Unchanged, unchained by your amazing grace. Forever I'm alive now in your love. On the other side, everything I I try my best to hide. You know the farthest distortion. You give the morning its light. I can't run from your presence. There's no place that far. So I'll run to you, my Savior. There's safety in your arms. If I make my bed in darkness, if I try my best to hide, you know the farthest ocean. You give the morning its light. I can't run from your presence. There's no place that far. So I run to you, my Savior. There's safety in you. Safety in your arms. On the other side of everything I'm afraid of, you are standing with your arms wide open. Wide open. Even in my deepest doubts and wonder, you are standing. Standing with your arms wide open, even in my deepest doubts and wonder, you are standing with.